Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
Hey, Coxie.
Mm-hmm.
I have a confession to make.
Tell me.
Well, you know, I claim to be a content marketer and a blogger and a podcaster and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
And I get outed in today's episode for something that, honestly, I was very embarrassed when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say.
It's enough of a tease, I think. You were outed, though, big time.
G'day, listeners. Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast. You're listening to Waz and Nick.
Hi.
Another fabulous episode. Today's topic, writing, something all tradies love to do.
Absolutely.
Not. And that's why we're talking about it. We've interviewed a few guests on the show about writing, you know, blogging and writing and content marketing and social media posting. And you might get the idea that it's pretty important because we keep talking about it.
Ding, ding.
Now, you might not know, but Coxie is a world famous blogger.
World famous.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Sure. I'll take that.
World famous in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So you've written how many blog posts? I know it's on our website.
860 homepage, now. Well, 860 on The Builder's Wife, but then I've been writing for so many other outlets that I couldn't count.
Yeah.
Well over 1,000.
Yeah, yeah. So that is a lot of writing.
It's hard to think of something to write that's unique.
And yet you do.
Yes.
Why do you keep doing it?
Because it works. Because it means that people know who I am and what I do and they're educated into procedures and it just works.
Mm. It would be easy to think that the written word is dead or dying because, you know, social media is covered in video and all that sort of stuff. And, I mean, this is a podcast, so it's not the written word. And yet, you can still go to tradiesinbusiness.com.au and find some show notes and a, you know, description of the episode in writing.
That's right, because we still look for it. Not all of us are listeners. Not all of us consume video. We all consume a little differently.
Mm. So have a listen to today's episode. There are some great tips in there. Our guest, Emily Toxward from Right Styling. You'll also hear how I managed to screw up her name. So I'm on fire in today's episode.
You are on fire.
And listen out for me getting very embarrassed. You'll hear me go quiet.
It's very squirmy. It's good fun, actually. I enjoyed it. I think you will too.
And if you haven't already, there's something wrong with you. But you can rectify that by going to tradiesinbusiness.com.au, subscribe and never miss an episode. Mm-hmm. We'll be updating you with episodes as they're released. And also make sure you get your copy of the Get Off the Tools Guide. So it's totally free.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to give us your email address and we'll pop it out to you in your inbox.
Speaking of gold nuggets, that's where they all are.
Yeah. And it's a guide to help you get off the tools. So more great stuff along the lines of what you hear here on the podcast. So head on over to tradiesinbusiness.com.au and grab that and have a listen to me getting embarrassed. G'day, welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast. Today we're talking to Emily Toxward.
Toxward.
Ooh.
It's a silent Toxward. W. Toxward. Gee whiz. See, I'm used to people messing Warwick up and turning it into Warwick and Warren and Wayne and everything else. So.
Look, I've had Foxward, Two Ward, Toxfard, you know, all that you can imagine.
See, I assumed it was a silent W, but it's Toxward. Oh. And Emily is from Right Styling, and that's with a W-R-I-T-E. So you can probably guess what we're going to be talking about today. But welcome to the show, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And it's Coxie's pleasure too, because she's actually here in the studio just standing silently next to me while I make a mess of your name. So
I'm just letting you dig your own hole.
Yeah, thanks for that, Coxie.
It's always a lot more fun that way, isn't it, really?
I think so.
Just to watch somebody else fall in a hole.
Yes. Love it.
I enjoy it.
So, Emily, what are we talking about today? What do you do?
I write, which sounds really boring, but I basically have been writing since I was young and had my first article published in the university newspaper when I was 1996. Is that too, you know, showing my age a bit there? But yeah, so I've always been a writer. I'm one of these people that has wanted to be a writer and loved it and does what she loves every day. So
it's a nice position to be in.
So what sparked your passion for writing? You said you got published back in 96, which wasn't that long ago, trust me.
No, just a blink of an eye. Like, I suppose it was the – I'm inherently, how do we put it, not nosy, inquisitive. And so I'm a journalist by trade. I studied and did 4 years at uni to become qualified. And I suppose it was just finding out what was going on and learning more about people. You get to meet a lot of interesting people when you can write about them.
Absolutely.
You know,
your career's taken you quite a few different places in.
Yeah, look, I've as you know, print media is dying a death. You know, we're all online now, consuming content at a fast pace, you know. So I've diversified into online writing and website writing and, you know, Facebook updates and any sort of writing where you're trying to grab the audience or grab some, you know, get some more business.
So write styling, nice play on words there. I like it.
That's good.
You, rather than me guess at what you do for our listeners, Emily, can you give a bit of an intro to what it is you do now? I'm guessing you're not in journalism.
Oh, actually, I still am. I still freelance out my services to News Corp papers. And at the minute, I'm actually writing about startup businesses and how to future-proof your business for social media. And so, like, I'm still in that scene, but I'm also I do work for other businesses, like, you know, website content. I'm passionate about people having a reputable online website that is – defines your business and who you are, and, you know, without warbling away. And so I think tradies, but not just tradies, you need a website. Doesn't have to be flash, but it needs to have a home page, a really, really good about page. So, because it's the first thing I click on, I'm like, who is this person? And if there's nothing there, I start to question your, you know, how good you are, the quality of your service. Even if you're amazing, I'll still go, it's not that hard to get someone to write an about page for you. You know, so landing page, about page, and then contact. That is the basic thing I think every business should have these days.
And do you think it's hard to write, you know, let's picture typical tradie. Let's talk about the builder. The builder's not a writer. He doesn't like writing. You're lucky to get two lines in an email in reply if he's on a good day. So he wouldn't have a clue how to write an about page. Is that something that you think that we have a go at ourselves, or do you think that it's something that we get some help with?
So look, you could have a go because you know yourself and what you do best, but most people don't talk themselves up enough, or they can't see the uniqueness, whereas I can see that in an instant. You know, I have a questionnaire that I send to all my clients and say, please fill this out. You know, and some people, like the builder, just put one sentence, one line for each question, and it's like pulling hen's teeth. But when you hire a professional writer like myself, who's been in the business for 20 years, I've met so many different types of people. I have a really good ability to know what someone's trying to say and then put that into words, you know. And so that's people can give it a go, but you'll spend hours on it and you won't like it. And so you best just to outsource that. I'm a big believer in outsourcing. I can't do lots of things, and I outsource them because I just think it's a waste of time trying to do it yourself if you're not confident enough.
I agree.
You know,
it's you said about the About Us page, and I know previous guests on the show, copywriters and marketers, have talked about the importance of that. And I know for me as a consumer, when I go and look at someone, whether it's to paint my house or fix my car or do my accounting for me, I go to the About page because, as you said, Emily, I want to know who they are, and it fascinates and frustrates me the number of people that don't have an About Us page about them. It's just some corporate crap that says, we believe in this and we've got this experience and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who the hell is behind this company? I want to know who the person is.
Yeah, authenticity. And we're becoming a lot more savvy about, if I'm going to part with my hard-earned cash, I want to know who you are. Tell me a bit about yourself, you know. Be a bit more open and go, you know, you sound, you're saying the right things and all that, but we don't want to see that. There's enough of that everywhere you go. You want someone to be honest and go, look, I started here and then I realized I had better skills as a builder or a plumber, or so I've changed and this is what I do. Because people are also inherently nosy or inquisitive, as I like to call it. So so when you are having a really transparent about me page or about us, you're creating a connection. And that could go some way to someone trusting you more than having this, you know, standard response. We can do this for you. We can do that for you. It's about sort of showing who you are.
Yeah. It anyway, I think
it's quite simple.
I think it ties into that know, like, and trust factor where people want to know you, they want to like you or need to and trust you before they'll buy from you.
Yeah. And it's much like on social media with Facebook. You know, I accidentally broke a front window in my house yesterday moving furniture.
Oh, wow.
You know, a big pane of glass with a part of my body that rhymes with glass.
I was thinking that too. It's like a big pain in the...
Anyway, yeah. And it was really funny for everyone except for me because I just saw dollar signs. But so I put a message out on, you know, recommendations for Facebook. And and it's about, can someone recommend me? And, you know, and that's why you need to have... And then if someone recommends me, I'll go and search their Facebook page or their website and go, this person has been recommended, but who are they, where they're from? So I will go through that second step and go, yes, I'm not going to take just one person's recommendation or even five people's recommendations. I'll go and check out their social presence and go, you know, how they are, they quite professional, you know, if they got sort of who they are and what they are out there. So, but I'm probably reasonably mistrusting or not, you know, but I might be the average person.
Yeah, I think you're very typical of a consumer. I think we're all looking for that bit of information before we pass the dollars over. Emily, how much information is too much information on your About Us page?
Oh, yes. Well, you don't need to tell, like, people that you broke a window worth your bottom. You know, that's too much information. But I think you need to, you know, you don't want to bridge that line of too personal, you know, because that you know, yes, maybe you had a breakdown, but that's what led to your business. Maybe include that. But if you're just telling them sort of excess personal information to get, I don't know, not sympathy or to get something, it's too much. You know, keep it professional,
yes.
You know, really, because if you read too much, you're like, oh, okay, overshare it. I don't need to know that about you. How, you know, what is that information helping me? If the information's helping you realize that this person's professional, efficient, fast, got a sense of humor, got a whatever, then good. But if it's, you know, every piece of information should tell someone something about you, not just be there for the sake of it, you know, and keep it short, 300 words, any more and boring, everyone's asleep, you know. Don't ramble on, you know. You think about it. You go and open a news article or something on your feed, and you're like, oh, if you haven't caught your attention in the first 2-3 sentences, you scroll on, you're gone.
Yes.
So you've got to catch them at the start, and then hopefully they'll read on.
What other sorts of information do you like to see included on a website? So we've always had a blog on any of the websites, even the Tradies and Business website's got a blog, which is passing on, in our case, some information, education for people. Do you think that's something that's quite essential or useful on a website as well?
So information as in giving them tips and advice on what to do. Oh, look, that is invaluable. Not only, I suppose you're talking about on a blog on there?
Yeah, to have either a blog on the website or just some more information further on in the website.
See, I'm an advocate of the blog, and I do hear that maybe social's taking over that space, and, you know, blogs aren't interactive like Facebook and Instagram and you can't contact. But I still believe there is people that are my age, you know, 40s and older.
Young.
There's a lot of us.
Young.
Young. It is.
Just starting. Just starting out, Emily.
Actually, just in this quick aside, I spoke up to a startup expert and he said 40 is the best age to start a business.
There you are. Like, we're all nailing it. Love it.
Yeah. So blogs are a place you're giving them more information for nothing, really. And that's what people want. If you're giving away free information, they're going to love that and they're going to share that. I'm an advocate for writing your own blogs. I know a lot of people will include overseas content or content, and I find that boring. I won't read that unless you've written it, because you're not giving an insight to your own business. So I offer a blog writing service where I write people's blog posts saying, this is what I've been up to this week in the business, or gee, we had a tough time with this. And it really makes you relatable.
Yes.
So, and I went to a house this week and I found this problem. Maybe you've experienced it too. This is what I did.
Yes.
You know, because it's get into a mindset where you think everyone should pay for everything. No, I don't want to give that away. That's free, you know. And but people want that, and they will like you more for that.
Absolutely. You know?
So it raises a question that I'll ask you, and sorry to put you on the spot, Emily. Actually, no, I'm not. Does that still work? I mean, I've been, I guess, you know, the term content marketing, I consider myself a content marketer, and I've been doing that now for years, probably 7-8 years of giving away information, useful information that I could charge people for. And it probably doesn't get talked about much anymore. But does it still work? Is the psychology still there where if I give you valuable information for free, you'll then be more likely to buy from me?
I think it is. But then again, I don't know whether people are just becoming a lot harsher. Mm. Oh, great, thanks for that, but it's not what I want. You're not the right price. I'm going to move on anyway. So I think there is always the risk. I'm not going to lie and say, yes, great, do it, you know, just because I want more business from people for writing. But, you know, it's a fine line between good writing instead of just slapping up something that you've written and it's full of errors and, oh, goodness, grammar. And I just think, oh, spelling, don't even try it, you know, because you look more unprofessional if you've written something and you go, oh, I don't know where that should be, you there or there or you're or, you know, all these little silly things that you may not think is important, but the person about to outlay 10 grand to get their kitchen renovated, they go, oh, I can't even do that. Why would I bother?
That's right.
You know, So, look, and I do think it works if you've got a blog and you've got great SEO and you thread it through, and then if someone shares that and it links that and you've got links back to your website, it can get traffic. You know, once you get into all that tech SEO stuff, there is proof that does work.
Mm.
But it's whether you want to outlay that cost, you know, which is why I suggest if you've got good SEO on your homepage, your about page, that's a good start for a business.
I think one of the real benefits, particularly in trade type businesses, is having the opportunity to educate your clients as to your processes. So sharing that on the blog, or you could share it on the website, you know, when you're describing the actual thing that they're selling, you could certainly do it there. But I think if you can have regular blog posts and regular, I think that you can do it, you know, fortnightly, monthly, even.
Yes.
Something that you're sharing, that this is the process for signing a contract. This is what it looks like. Give them the chance to read through that backlog of information so that when they come to that point in the process themselves, they already have that all in the back of their mind. You've actually conditioned your client into the way you work rather than just leaving it open for assumption.
And that's super smart because it gives them, you're already creating a trust. And, you know, in the trade industry, there's a lot of mistrust. You call someone, are they going to turn up? Are they going to do it? And that is, I don't know whether I'm alone, but, you know, I don't expect a trader to turn up when I call them. And if that's bad. I don't know whether that's just my personal expectation, but I know a lot of people. So it's finding, you can find someone that, I suppose it goes to instantly calling you back, instantly answering your Facebook message, and this goes to someone in charge of your media or your socials. Yes, I'll get back to you. Thank you for your inquiry. You know, if you're waiting half a day, I'm like, next person. It just shows,
That's right.
So, yeah. And in regards to having the processes, I think that takes away the uncertainty, you know, so even if you just have a little bit of information, the first things we'll do when you approach us, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it only has to be 5 sentences. And then, you know, and then if you have a blog, you can write that more thoroughly and they can click onto it and go, this is what we do when we get to this point before we get to lock up or before we do this, you know. So,
and when you're helping your clients out with that style of writing, how do you go about educating yourself into what their business's processes are?
It's, well, they kind of tell me, or it's kind of instinctively get it. I suppose I've recently, a year ago, did a content for a bespoke builder on the Gold Coast. And he basically said, oh my God, can you just do it all? I'm like, okay. You know, so I put it together thinking, I mean, you do have to give me your processes, but you just give me the bare bones and I can use words to fluff that out. Not fluff it out, but make it look, so you can go, we do this, we do this, and I can go, and I can, you know, make it look more presentable to people. So I suppose it's just an ability that I have to think like the person you're trying to attract as a client. So I write like I'm your customer.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a question I was going to ask, Emily, is in spite of everything we've just talked about, I suspect there's a bunch of listeners out there going, yeah, but I'm not a writer. I can't write. I don't know how to write. Are there some, I don't know, secrets to writing something useful? Are there some myths maybe you can bust for us? Because I know a lot of people stall at that just getting started stage.
Well, I suppose, you know, you go back to the old journalism thing I was taught 20-odd years ago. It's who, what, why, how, and when. And so that's getting the five WHs and I don't know whatever it is, five W's and H or something.
There's a bunch of letters in there anyway.
Yeah. And it's, you know, why are you doing this? Where do I do it? What do I do? How do I do it? And there was another one in there.
When?
But, you know, it's when. When am I going to do it? So I think that gives people a start. And, like, I'm all for people giving it a start. I've had many clients that have come and said, look, I've written this. I'm not happy. And I can fix it, you know, zhuzh it up. Because people are inherently hard on themselves. They don't write. They don't push them. You know, it's that tall poppy thing. You can't be seen to be showing off at what you do, but you have to. You have to put all your best traits. And so that's why it can be really hard to write about yourself, you know, unless you're me and I can blow my own trumpet like, God, there's no tomorrow. But no, but I'm conditioned to write like that. I can say, you know, Nicole has done this and it led her to do this. And you know, it's not BS. None of it, it's not fluff. Because I've got a journalist background, you read it and go, right, this person knows their stuff. And that's what you want. And I believe that's what people want. They don't want someone that's sort of a bit airy-fairy. And I think that's where a professional writer or has the advantage.
Mm.
You know, someone that's all they do is write.
Yep. It's Coxie and I were literally having a bit of a conversation about this before we recorded this interview with you, Emily, of the fact that, and I'm just going to sort of air a bit of laundry here for Coxie and I. She's probably thinking, what the hell are you talking about, Woz? But there are people within the tradies in business community that don't know that Coxie and I actually are business coaches and that we offer mentoring services to tradies in business. I mean, that's part of the reason we do this is to help people, you know, learn about us. And, you know, the podcast that you're listening to now is obviously a free resource. But, you know, you can pay to work with us one-on-one. And there's people going, oh, do you guys do that? And I think, man,
and
this is
your fault.
Yes. Yeah, because I don't.
You haven't told anyone.
That's
I know,
right.
I know.
That's right.
And so.
You silly Billies.
We teach this stuff, right? And and I know it's really hard for a lot of people to talk about their accolades, what they've done, the great stuff that they've helped clients with, you know, the fantastic projects they've worked on because, particularly I think in Australia and certainly in the blue collar space, we're taught not to brag or big note ourselves. And if you do that, you're a wanker. And so, but I think the pendulum swings way too far the other way for most of us. Is there a way to strike a balance, Emily, between educating people about what you do and not actually being a wanker?
Well, I think it depends on...
Big question for you, I know.
I think some people are always going to see you as a wanker no matter what you do. And it comes down to whether they want the services. You can't make someone react a certain way to the information you give them. Mm. That's how they're going to react. But what you can do is wrap it up in a certain way. So, you know, I know they're a dying breed, but press releases, you know, sent to regional papers, you know, that you guys do, look at our podcast, we do this, or Abena One's won a Master Builder award, or Abena finalist even, you know, put that somewhere on your website, on your, you know, pin it to the top of your Facebook page, do an Instagram picture, write and include that so it's there. It's not in your face, but it's there. But you do really need to shout it from the rooftops. That is the only way to be seen at the minute in regards to your accolades, because everyone's doing something great, you know. It's you need to look at what your point of difference is as coaches, you know, like, so you've said to me, we don't tell anyone. Well, what makes you different to me is that you're both outgoing and funny and you're not boring and dry, which is a lot of people, you know, that are coaches. Do you know? So that's your point of difference, that's you cool. know, to be honest. And that's what I want. And so I can probably, you know, it's my job to go, this is your difference, and I can market you for you. Mm. And same with a tradie that is, that a plumber is a certain way, or this person mm. has this unique fun. And that's, and that you pick up on that and mm. and you sell it. Free, you know. So,
did you write all that down, Coxie?
I did, and I'm going to go back and listen again and again and again and keep taking notes. Or we'll just call him.
But there is there's a guy in the West, and we should get him on the show.
Oh,
actually,
we should.
There's a guy in the West called Beautiful Plumbing, and nice. I don't know how well his business is going, but his social media stuff is bloody brilliant.
It's really on point,
and he's funny, and he does video, and you know, there's a lot of wit. And stuff, and he gets a lot of good engagement on his posts, and he stands out. Like, if I happened to live in Western Australia and I needed a plumber, I would call Beautiful Plumbing.
I completely agree. You've got to find that point of difference because people like that, really.
Mm. Yep.
Well, the people, you know, people, it's hard to keep everyone happy all of the time, you know, and appealing to everyone is just not possible, you know.
Yep.
Sadly, and someone's always going to find something about you that they don't like. So you've got to just be who you are, be authentic, be your business. And you're not everyone's going to love you or want you, but you know, there's no point in trying to convert people if you haven't already got them. It's about retaining the business that you've got and spreading the good word. You know, your recommendations on Facebook, you know, saying to people, look, you know, if you liked us, please tell other people, or just those little things. And I always do. We had a great Sparky electrician, and I will tell everyone about him because he just turned up. He did the right thing, and I'll shout that from the rooftops. You know, so I suppose it's also about not being afraid to ask your actual existing customers, look, can you tell people? Can you refer me? Don't be afraid. You know, don't be, you know. I know it's not all tradies want to do that, but it could get one or two extra clients.
That's right. It's not a hard thing to do.
So
I know for some it is, though.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yep. So as well as the who, where, what, when, why, and how of writing, you know, that sort of gives a bit of, well, what the heck do I talk about? How should they – let me ask the question a different way. I've observed a lot of tradies especially that I encourage to write or just put content on their website, for goodness sakes. They try and write in a certain way. It's like they can talk to me about it. And if I recorded it and transcribed it, it'd sound awesome. But as soon as they sit down and try and write it, they start writing like, I don't know, a 1923 newscaster, you know?
Yeah. And it's really hard to convert your personality into writing unless you literally sit down and do what you say and transcribe how you wrote. Because people are worried, they overthink it.
Mm.
They're worried that, oh, I need to say this so it sounds right. Oh, that's not right. You know, but it is right. If this is who you are and this is the way, you just need to write it that way, you know. But, yeah, that is a tricky one. Look, I'm one of these people that doesn't think everyone can write, and I know everyone's going to hate me for that, you know, but everyone can write. But I don't think you – I think you can, but the level of what you're going to write is going to be different. So, you know, there is a lot of people out there that are copywriters. I'm using inverted quotes here. Copywriters and people that are in this in the scene, but they're not really professional. They haven't had the experience, or they haven't been trained. And you don't you don't always need that. But these people that have been, I can talk to them on the phone and write it, and they're like, "Gee, it's like I wrote that." Do you know? So that's the hard part, because you could spend hours doing, and people do spend hours trying to write a few sentences. They get stuck at the start, you could also go to the middle. The first few sentences with anything are always very hard to write. But go to the middle and the second and start there and then work your way back up, you know, because when you go to the middle and second sentences of what you want to write, then you realise, oh, that's what I really wanted to say, and then you pluck it and put it at the top. So
one of the best tips I ever heard you give, Emily, was just to sit down and write, just to start as you're thinking it, rather than going, forget about the punctuation, forget about the spelling. You can come back and fix all of that later. Just sit down and write what it is that you're trying to say, and then come back and you can clean it up afterwards. I find that helps me a lot.
I'm a grammar Nazi. It frustrates me. We could be friends then. I seriously can't move on from the fact that someone had there and your and Mr. Comma and all that. It actually, I stop taking in whatever I'm reading, and I know it's really crazy, but it bugs the crap out of me.
I think it's common.
Yeah, but you're not alone. Where there's so many closet grammar people out there like us that are like that, and we're like, oh, I can't believe you said that. And I read, you know, I often read a book and I find a mistake in a published book, and I'll be like, oh, not meaning to be, oh, look at me, I'm so smart. But, you know, like, there's things that just like, come on, you know, it's basics. But Nick, you're right. I think just start, write it, ramble it down. I'm in business because this, and then if you look at it and go, oh, it's just a whole, I've just vomited a whole lot of words onto a paper, onto the screen, God, you know, then you can get someone to go through it and go, no, you don't need to say that. What were you really trying to say? Is this, you know, whatever. So there is people that can edit what you write. I often edit what people write because they know what they want to say, and you know, letting go of that is hard. People are like, why would I hire a writer when I pretty much know what I want to say anyway? And in the writing business, it's hard trying to convert. People don't want to pay for a service. I'm not actually fixing them or making their kitchen look amazing. I'm offering something sort of more virtual, and that's hard.
Yeah.
You know, as you guys know, with life coaches, you know, people are like, oh, unless you're getting something tangible, it's hard being in the service industry, you know, trying to make people see the value.
I refuse to spend hours doing something I can't do. I just flat out refuse to do it. So I'm lucky to have developed the ability to write. But I wouldn't be podcasting if it wasn't for Warwick pressing all the buttons. That would be too hard for me. Yes. So I'd have to outsource it. Or, you know, there's 1,000 things I can't do or I don't like doing. So they take me a bunch of extra time. And time's money. Mm. I don't have that money to waste.
Yeah. When you think about it, what tradies' rates per hour was and how long it takes them to sit down and write something, or how long it takes them to come up with 3 Facebook posts a week, and your hourly rate, I'm probably, or me or someone else, I'm not just selling myself here, but we're probably less than that.
Mm.
And that's money you could be spending on your business. So you kind of need to look at it in the figures.
Mm. I agree.
Bookkeepers and, you know, marketers and admin stuff, you know, printing and stationery, all those sorts of things that we talk about outsourcing. It amazes me, as you said, Emily, like your rates are possibly cheaper than what a tradie could make doing an hour of billable work for a client. And yet I see a lot of tradies that it's not that they consciously choose this way, but it's like they would rather not do anything than pay someone to do it.
That's so common. It's just too hard basket. You know, it's the head in the sand, you know, like, I don't want to do it. I'll just leave it. But, you know, there's going to come a time where it's here, it's past. You have to have it. It's just not negotiable anymore, you know.
So is there a simple way that, you know, someone's listening to this going, okay, Woz and Nick, I get it. I need to get an About Us page, or I need to start writing blogs. Often I think people get overwhelmed with the enormity of the task. Is there a simple little toe in the water that someone could just start with?
I suppose you mean as in about how to start writing?
Yeah, like whether it's the About page. I know you mentioned the importance of that before, but, you know, we've already rattled off, the three of us, a whole list of things that they should be writing. There's social media posts and blog posts and About Us pages and website content, and that all starts to feel like a heck of a lot of stuff, and next minute they're not doing anything. So, like, what would be your suggested jump-off point or the first thing they should go and tackle?
So, personally, I would suggest having a website. I'm sure they haven't got a website, or they may have one, making sure that the content on there is accurate. And I'm not saying this, do this one week, put aside a few hours and look at your website. Look at your competitor's website. And then you're going to go, oh my God, mine is horrific. You know, you might go, well, mine's awesome. But that's, people are going to go to your direct competitor and look and go, okay, it's a no-brainer.
Yes.
Really? And similarly with their Facebook page. So another week, tackle your About page on your Facebook page. Maybe look at getting someone to manage any inquiries that come in your Facebook page. It doesn't have to be you, but they have to pretend they're you. You know, thanks for the message, I'll get back to you. And then, so just take it slowly. That would be my suggestion. look, it's a hard one because I'm sort of this person that likes to jump in and do everything yesterday, but that's not realistic, I know, for a lot of people. And if they don't want to do it, it's going to be hard to convert them. But even if they got someone in their family to help them, I know a lot of traders are family-oriented businesses, so, they've got teenagers. Do they want to do something for you? Can they?
It's a big ask. Obviously, your kids aren't teenagers.
Well,
can't
even get them a claim to the room, no, but I could bribe them. There's a lot of. Negotiate with my children.
No food until you actually do this for me.
No internet. Turn off the Wi-Fi.
That'll work every time.
More I'm not driving you anywhere. Here's your car keys. So I don't know. That's not quite right. But it's just making a start, I think, isn't it?
I do agree, and sometimes that just means outsourcing, and outsourcing can be to a professional or it can be to somebody in the family that has the knack for writing or doing. It doesn't matter. It's just starting.
Mm. And often,
I think outsourcing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, even just getting someone to read what you've written. You mentioned this before, Emily, editing. Just write something and then give it to your wife or the other way around, whoever's sort of going to be doing the writing, give it to the other person and say, hey, can you read this and just like see if it makes sense? And sometimes it's enough of that different perspective to pick up on the fact that, oh, that's not how you talk. Just write it like this or change that bit because I don't know what you mean. And you might get some critical feedback that's going to help you start to understand how to write better or differently.
And partners are usually pretty critical when it comes to writing. I've shown my husband a few. I don't know why he's not. He's in the trading type area as well, so he's not a writer. But he goes, "That doesn't make sense." So we'll go, "Why have you said that?" So you get that really different perspective.
Yes.
And it's valuable. I mean, it can go, "Oh, what would you know?" Get all offended.
Yeah, sure. I'm the professional.
Valuable.
One.
Yeah, hello, excuse me. I think that sort of, and it's not about reinventing the wheel. If someone, shows you something, you don't have to change it for the sake of changing it. Often I've been given clients work, I'm like, this is pretty good. All I would do is add that. Any professional writer worth their weight won't just try and bamboozle you, well, we need to do this, this is all terrible. They'll look at your content that you've got and go, look, it's not bad, but I suggest we add this here, take that away and do that, So that's something to keep in mind. It doesn't have to be a big, lights and whistles. It can be pretty simple. You can just make a few changes and it's going to make a massive difference.
So on that, Emily, do you think that websites should be often updated? I know that... we'll tick that box and then we'll forget about it for a while. How often should we update the website?
Well, look, I think you should be putting any major accolade or any major achievement or a great build or something up there regularly. Mm-hmm. This is what we just did recently, and that goes to, depending on how many pages you've got, but we just won this award or we're doing this now. Did you know we also offer this? Constantly. I go to people's websites and look at their blogs, and I noticed yours hasn't been updated in years. Warwick, 2 years? 2016 was the last blog post you wrote. And look, that's just me. I'm in the trade. But, some people might go, oh, they haven't done that for a while. But that is your opportunity to write, to talk yourself up. Mm. Look what we did. We won this. It doesn't have to be a novel.
Yep.
It's a picture of something we've done, and look what we did. And so in the blog, but like website content every week. I mean, that's if you've got a movable business, maybe you don't have time, but maybe your services have changed. But I'd do a checkup every 6 months.
Yep.
Go through and look for errors. Get someone to do go through and have a relook to see whether it's still relevant, because things have changed. And I imagine that there's bylaws and regulations that have changed for builders, and just go, this has changed now because of this.
Yes, that's
true. And it just makes you look. I mean, you can have last updated at the bottom, and people know that you're keeping your website updated.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Like a little thing in italics at the bottom of your website, updated January 2019. And then, if you haven't done it in 2 years, people are going to go,
Yep. In my defense, I did change to Tradies in Business.
So. I know. It's hard, but then you should have a redirect me. I'm now writing over here. That's what you should have done. Hey, I haven't written in a while. You might have noticed. I'm now over here, and I would follow you there.
Yeah.
So, that's something you can do. So I haven't answered everything. It's really bad.
No, that's okay. So you mentioned before, for the About Us page, we were talking about no more than sort of 300 words, otherwise you get bored. Is there I get asked occasionally about blogs, and I think there's a million different opinions on this, but how long is too long and how short is too short?
So I think, say, 600's more than enough, 600 words, mm-hmm. then minimum of 300.
Okay.
And that's also for Google SEO and things like that. That, you know, there's a whole list of rules, you know, so all those lovely Google spiders trawl through your content and deliver it to people. So that's a good size. And also, people don't read big articles anymore unless they're really heavily invested in it. You know, I'm writing 8 business articles at the minute, and I've got 500 words, and I have to interview 3 expert academics about each subject. And, you know, and that's all people are going to read. 500 words is nothing. You know, I mean, it might seem a lot to some people, but, you know, if you can keep it to between 3 and 600, then I think that's the money number there.
Yeah.
Okay. Emily, recently somebody in our Tradies and Business Facebook group was asking about marketing to men and women and how it should be done differently. And I wonder if when you're writing, you've already said that you're thinking about the target market and how they're reading or would read what it is that you're writing. Do you actually write specifically to the male or the female in those situations, or are you trying to keep it sort of middle of the road so it's interesting to everybody?
Yeah, that's funny. I've never written in regards to gender, and that's over 20 years. I've never thought about it doing it like that. I just don't think you need to. You could inadvertently alienate people.
Yes.
You know, and you don't have to. You can write in a way, because it's not about a male-female thing. It's about meeting their needs. So it's looking at, they both have the same problem they want fixed. You know, obviously, if it's a female business coach wanting to help other females, you know, of course you can maybe do it. You talk a different way, but I think you can get into problems.
Yes.
And I think you can open yourself up for a lot of criticism, and because everyone's so quick to, you do something wrong, you haven't got time to breathe. No. And 3,000 people have commented and said, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. You know, these days you're up for so much criticism online if you are politically incorrect, even in the slightest, you know.
Absolutely. So,
which I think that is, right or wrongly, do you know, to write towards one specific sex.
Yes. Yep, you know, I agree. Interesting.
Not considered the thing to do. Mm. You know, I don't know.
I'm being very quiet at the moment. You might have noticed.
Do you disagree, Warwick?
No. And I was just thinking as you were speaking, Emily, which is not uncommon for me. Actually, it is uncommon because I'm usually the one speaking. But thinking before I speak is less common. Anywho, so... The offending people, you know, the 3,000 comments online, criticism, all that sort of stuff. I actually sometimes think if you do it reasonably well, you got to be careful with it, as I suppose. But what am I trying to say here? Take a position.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a person that does that. I have a personal blog, and it has great engagement because I am pretty straight up and honest, and I'll go, this is what I think, and some people will go, God, you're crazy, that is silly, and I won't go, oh, sorry, I've offended you with my opinion. That is my opinion. This is your space to say what you want.
Yep.
And say what you want. You know, obviously I suppose you come into difficulties when some people aren't very aware of what could be offensive. Some people aren't, like, don't actually know, oh, and they, you know, never offended people, and they, God, I never meant it like that. So maybe that's where you need someone to look, you know, ask, would you be offended by that?
Yes.
You know, and not a fellow tradie maybe, but someone else that's outside in that area. Because offence may not need to be taken, but you might be, you know, if you're writing something that you think's dodgy or borderline, you know, you'll know in yourself, you go, oh, I don't know, that's when you ask someone else, because that niggling doubt.
Yeah, I think
could be the answer.
There's areas where you do need to be mindful of that. I mean, we've talked about the whole gender thing, and there's certain social issues where I don't think it's appropriate to include personal opinion in a business blog or a social media post on those sorts of things. But if you feel strongly about the direction of the industry or the way plumbing should be done or how to treat customers and you know, you take a position on that in your blog and a few people get upset or disagree with it, I think that's a risk that we should be willing to take as business people and as individuals. Is there's way too many people trying to be way too nice and way too close to the middle on everything. And, you know, you're going to upset someone at some point someday, so you might as well just take a position and you know, speak your mind professionally because people will follow that and they'll appreciate that willingness to say, you know what, I think the plumbing industry really needs to pull its socks up, and that's why we do things this way. You know, I think people will tend to follow that sort of thing.
And I think all publicity is good publicity. I'm one of the, and you know, someone's going to, well, yeah, okay, there's a few exceptions, but in the media world, oh God, you know, you look at what people follow and what they love. People love to hate. And look, you don't want people to hate you. I understand that. But if you're saying, if what you're saying is genuinely from what you think and it's about something that's factual, you know, people can't really go for that. And if they do, they're going to be the ones that look a bit, you know, that's going to look off. If they're attacking you for your personal opinion on a subject of your business and professionalism, then, you know, you can't really go wrong. And I think people will respect that and go, oh, this guy stands up what he believes in. Great. I really want someone who is not just going to go, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, that you want someone that has, that can stand up and not be afraid to say what they think, because that is a hard thing to do.
Yep.
Although not for me.
As you were talking, I'm thinking about, you were saying, well, publicity is good publicity. I agree, because I think there's an opportunity, even if it's a difficult situation, there's always a way that it can be shown in a different light. I guess we call it spin.
Yes.
So I guess then I'm thinking, okay, there might be some tradies out there that have had a poor experience or done something wrong in their business. They've gotten a bad review or something else has gone wrong. Is that something that you can always spin and find a positive on, Em, with what you do?
I think, yeah, oh, totally. You can turn it around and go, look, this is what we've learned, and wow, didn't we make a stuff up? And people love it when people admit they've made a mistake.
They do.
It's like, oh, they're human, they're great, fabulous, they're genuine. Instead of going, you know, it wasn't me, I didn't do it, it was all that person. Taking responsibility is the best trait you can have as a tradie, because it shows that you're willing to go, yeah, we stuffed up.
Yes.
And I'm really sorry, and but this is what we're doing to redress it, and you know, if you want to come and see us, we can do that. I think there's always opportunities to turn that around. And hiding, people are going to go, well, they haven't said anything about that. That's weird.
Absolutely.
Why aren't they speaking about it? That makes me think even more suspicious thoughts. And be the first person to do it. Out yourself. I'll go, look, we stuffed up. Before you hear it from anyone else, you know, we did this. We really shouldn't have. Sometimes there is no excuse.
Sure.
You know, and there was an excuse, and tell them what it was, but you know, sometimes it's just human
stuff
error.
Happens.
You know, we're all human, and I think people appreciate that. Maybe some people will forgive you, some people won't, but the one, you know, you can't, again, you have no control how other people react to what you do, so you just got to do your own thing, I think.
And if you don't tell the story, people will make up their own.
That's right.
Yeah. The amount of lies that'll go around, you need to put the record straight before someone says something, and it could ruin your whole business. You need to get out there and go, this is actually what happened, and we've got proof here, and so-and-so, you know, because otherwise, you know, it doesn't take much for a few people to destroy you if they want to.
Very true.
But if you let that get out there first, you end up backpedaling, and it just looks like
You look like you're countering it, right?
Instead of saying, hey, before anybody else says it, here's a photo of the job we just screwed up, and here's what we learned from it, and here's how we resolved it. And then it's like no one can actually come in. Well, it would be very hard for a customer or anybody else to come in and make that worse because you've already, like you said, you've gone there and said, hey, we screwed up, you know, and here's what happened.
And then what you do, though, if you're really smart, you spin it around and you get someone like me to write you a press release, and you go, this is what happened when we didn't look at this. You go to a local newspaper or online and go, I would like to warn other people that this happened to us. It could happen to you. So check out on this and check out on that. Use it as an opportunity to bolster your business. You know, things like that. Turn it around and go, take the message and then, you know, shout it from the rooftops. Because you never know if it's going to be a slow news day. Monday's a really slow news day. You know, and there's nothing in the paper on a Monday, and websites. Because, you know, so you go and you never know if a newspaper or an online site will pick that up. You've got to try. Shoot them an email and go, this is what has happened, and it could turn into something amazing, you know?
Great. So, Emily, I've got a question about outsourcing and getting a professional writer to do some work for me. How do I know who's a good one and who's a non-good one?
Oh, that's a tricky one.
Other than
obviously
using
I'm a good
you,
one.
Yeah.
So I would look to their background. And examples of their work, and I suppose it comes down to, it's a tricky one. Referrals, Testimonials. You'd like to see what other people have said about you on their page. Can you send me to websites you've been to before? That I've written or something like that. Yep. You know, that can be done. But I suppose it's getting speaking to someone and having a rapport, because they're going to have to try and think like you and write like you. So you want to have a chat and go, oh, this person sounds like right. You know, they kind of get it. They're kind of easygoing, or you'll know straight away with a phone call. If someone doesn't sound right, but if they don't gel in the phone call, you'd be like, this person may be great on paper, but when it comes to getting what you're trying to say, then it's hard. So I'd be doing your research. There's a lot of people out there that can think they can write. But, I don't know. That sounds really bad. I don't know. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to sitting in this. Go for a former journo. Go for a former journalist, because these people have been trained. We know how to write in every genre. We've interviewed people from all walks of life. We've got that background. We know how to write to every to situation, and we're fast. Not necessarily that would be my number one. That would be who I'd go to first. Or a copywriter that's been in the industry that you're in. Do you know, someone that's come from a background and now writes in that area. Just ask them, you know, can you send me, I don't know, a list of someone to ring or,
So it's the usual story of look at their previous work, you know, make sure that you get on with them and you gel with them, because they're going to have to understand you and write kind of like you. And then look at qualifications and stuff as well, and experience.
Yeah, it's tricky though, I suppose, because a lot of my work is still in journalism, and, you know, I've done probably 10 websites, but so they're not all the trading genre. One's been for like a completely different, like a QT business or a beauty person. So, don't discount those people, because they can write to all different things. So it's a tricky one. My biggest thing is go off your gut. If they think they're going to get it, if they get you, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
That wasn't very helpful, but.
No, it's perfect. I think it was great. And you know what? Yeah. It's how a lot of tradies get selected is, you know, people kind of like them, feel like they get on with them. They've seen examples of their previous work and they've got the right qualifications and experience. So, you know, the same rules apply if you're choosing a copywriter or, you know, a ghostwriter or someone like that.
For sure. And beware, it shouldn't cost a fortune either, but beware of too cheap, because that is the other thing, you know, you get what you pay for, basically. And I firmly believe that, and that's with lots of things, but definitely in the writing industry.
Totally agree.
Great advice. So, Emily, one final question from me, at least. Anyway, I know I've hogged the microphone a bit.
Yeah, you have.
What a hogger.
That's the usual case. if you had 1,000 tradies, well, I say in a room, but maybe if you had 1,000 tradies online at the Tradies in Business Trade Desk, what's one piece of advice you would love to share with them all?
Oh, way to put a girl on the spot. Okay.
I've been doing that my whole life.
In regards to succeeding with their business online and that sort of thing?
Anything. It could be pull their pants up and stop showing us their undies.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, you know what it is? Be on time.
Yes. Hello.
And if you're not going to be on time, tell me. Mm. And if you can't make it, also tell me. And if you're not interested, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, do not engage in any sort of contact with me unless you intend to do the job.
Yes.
You know, and I don't mind if you don't want to do the job. That's cool. But don't say you're going to turn up and then, oh, it's 2:00 on a Friday, I'm going to the pub. Cool, that's good for you, but I don't want to be waiting around for you.
No.
Do you know?
Agree.
And yeah, and look, not all tradies are like that. And I feel sorry for tradies. They probably get a bad rap, but
I think they might deserve it sometimes.
Yeah,
at least.
I think
Coxie, you and I are not getting our message out to enough people.
No.
Because it's 2019. We have over 200 episodes of the Tradies in Business podcast. We've got a blog and everything else. And I still hear this from people, that their number one thing is turn up or answer your phone or take off your shoes or whatever. Well, they can't nowadays because of the workplace health and safety. But it just baffles me that those are the things that people are wishing tradies would do. Not, you know, market better or do video on Facebook or whatever. I never hear that. Just blows my mind.
But I think it comes down to, there's such an opportunity for tradies to be that person. Oh, my God, you people out there can kick some butt. And the ones that aren't, well, naturally, whatever happened to them. But if you can be that step above, if you can be that person that steps up, have your wife, your children answer your social media messages straight away if you can't, and then someone will go, great, I've heard from this person, you know, just be that person that's always onto it.
Do you know what I think is cool about that, though, and it's a great point, Emily, is that you don't have to be some revolutionary trade business doing fancy marketing and stuff to actually crush it in your industry. All you've got to do is, and I think it goes back to what you said before about shouting it from the rooftops, tell people in a you know, professional, sensible way that you do these things. You know, we put slip-over boot covers on, we answer the phone, and here's Mary, my wife, answering the phone, you know, and we get back to messages within 7 minutes, and we have this service standard. It's like all of the things that frustrate people, if you show that you do those and I guess prove that through your social media marketing and your blog and your writing and all that we've talked about, that's actually enough to win you a whole bunch of business over the people who don't do those things.
And I think a great name for a business, someone out there wants to set up a business, is We Turn Up. Someone starts
a franchise
in the industry. There you go, someone. We Turn Up.
Yeah.
Do you know? I know that's pretty cheeky, but look, it's hard because I know that's only a small percentage of people that don't do the right thing, but it's hard because then people, like, we all go, oh, God, you know.
Mm. Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know.
No. Very true.
Well, there's been some fantastic tips and insights shared today, Emily. Thank you so much for your time. I don't
Thanks
know what your hourly
me.
Rate is, but I really appreciate it. It's sounds like it's fairly decent.
Oh, no, look, and you've saved me from what I'm about to do now, and that's write about startups and how social media has changed the way we consume business. So I've enjoyed the break.
Oh, so you're procrastinating.
Yeah,
we're your excuse for procrastinating.
It's great. It's the best excuse ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it's
Thanks
been awesome.
So much for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you. If people have listened to this and gone, okay, I need to talk to Emily, what's the best way for people to find you?
So my website is rightstyling.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
Or my Facebook page is my name, actually, Emily Toxward Writer. Well, that's a hard one.
Don't forget the W.
Name,
yeah. Make sure you put the silent W in there that's not silent.
Toxward. You know, funny fact that we're the only, obviously, you may have noticed I have a New Zealand accent. Just
a slight twang.
I hadn't picked it. Yeah.
No, I just thought I'd just point that out. And interestingly, there's Toxward, we're the only family from New Zealand with that surname. It's quite a surname.
Wow.
Yeah, Danish. It used to be Toxvard back in the day. So T-O-X and then V and an A and an E letter join back in the old day.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's, so you can't miss me. There's only one Emily Toxward, a writer in Australia. So Google that and I'll come up, really. Emily
Toxward. How cool is that for SEO?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, considering my married name is Smith. So
there's a few of those.
You can see why I've kept that. Anyway. Hey, thanks guys so much.
Awesome.
Thank
Our
you.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Emily.
No worries.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.